Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We're coming to you live from our massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Before we jump into our topic, we just wanted to say a quick thank you to everyone for their feedback recently as we transitioned to both audio and video. Thank you for the kind words, and we are down to our last few audio-only shows. So, our topic for this week is AI workload sizing and basically everything GPUs. My big takeaway from this conversation was really how impactful sizing and GPU selection can be, really based on a variety of variables on both the technical and the business side. So, we hope you enjoyed the conversation, and we're good to jump right in right now.
And we're back. And Aaron, how are you, man? It's been, we've had a good run here of a bunch of shows together, and we've got another really good one today. How you been?
Yeah, been good. You know, as we're recording this, it is for everyone here in the States and sports fans, it is the middle of basketball season and March Madness. It's been a really interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, it's been good. The weather's been good. The pollen's starting to clear up a little bit, so you and I should sound a little better than normal, which is good. And today we're going to dive into, you know, we've talked a few times on the show about how, you know, kind of the overall themes of things that we've been talking about have been shifting somewhat from, you know, kind of traditional cloud computing into obviously more AI. And, you know, we're always looking for sort of overlaps. And today we get a chance to really kind of dive into what does it look like to be running one of the AI clouds, right? We now have a number of cloud environments that are sort of specialized in GPUs and AI, you know, inferencing and things to really help folks that are specifically focused on that, and kind of really excited to dive into that today because it's really the intersection of where we've been, where we are today, and where we're going.
Yep, absolutely. And whenever we're talking about, you know, clouds and in this instance AI clouds, the concept of sizing and how do we do proper sizing for IaaS hosting, if you will, always seems to come up. And so for that and for today's topic, we'd like to welcome John Yu, CEO and co-founder at Inference AI. How are you doing, John?
I am doing good. Thanks for asking, Eric.
Absolutely. And welcome to the show. So let's get started with sizing. So I talked to a lot of customers recently in my day job, and it is amazing how deep AI and ML sizing can go. It's far beyond just, hey, speeds and feeds of GPUs or GPU chips, right? And so you have this idea of, for instance, training or sizing for training and sizing for fine tuning and then sizing for at the inference stage. And those needs are very, very differently. And then some folks just think, hey, pick the biggest CPU you can actually get or can afford and just go from there because more is better. And so I'm going to simply start there, John. How should organizations out there really think about this at an introductory level?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So we do see a lot of overuse of GPUs since the beginning of last year. And, you know, it's not the fault of the CTOs of these companies. And, you know, truth be told, most CTOs before last March have not worked with a GPU before, in the sense that they have to use this hardware to train ML. Maybe they use it for gaming or whatever before. But all of a sudden, we have the AI boom, and these CTOs are now tasked with the task of going out there and coding in CUDA and finding out the right chips to use for their ML jobs. And it's a very difficult task, and that's why a lot of the times we see CTOs simply taking the easy way, which is to just get the latest and greatest GPU, which is the H100 on the market right now. And by Q2 is going to be the H200s. And a lot of the times, the models that they're using and the workload that they're running do not need something as sophisticated and as expensive as H100. H100s are extremely expensive. Most startups will have a very difficult time affording something like that without significant funding. And especially, you know, now we have you know, a lot of AI companies who are doing inferencing instead of training. Inferencing is a much, much easier workload compared with model training. And typically, you can get by without using the latest and greatest chip. But we have seen customers time and again use H100 for their inferencing because that's the only chip that they know. And it's costing them like 8 to 10x more than what is required. So, and that's one of the problems that inference AI is here to help people solve is we help people navigate through this nebulous atmosphere that is procuring GPU chips. We help them understand what workloads are suited for what chips and how many chips are needed and how to think about procurement plans going forward. So yeah, to your question, definitely not everyone needs a very complicated chip, and it very much depends on what type of workload they're trying to run.
Yeah, but before we get too deep on a lot of topics, I want to step back a little bit. You know, we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are familiar with kind of normal, but kind of traditional cloud economics in terms of thinking about everything from like, how do I go about purchasing, whether it's on demand or reserved instances? Maybe they're thinking about like, which region do I have to put things in? Walk us through a little bit of the basics of like, what are the things that your customers come to you with, when they're like interacting with a, more GPU centric cloud, inferencing centric cloud. And then what do you typically have to educate them on to help them understand, like, these are the most important things that you should consider?
Oh yeah, that's a really great question. That's something I've been wanting to put something out there to the broader audience. And is that we're now kind of over the cloud era. And like Jensen Huang said in one of his talks, the era of general purpose computing is over. We are now entering into the era of accelerated computing. And with that, it comes a lot of differences in terms of supply chain, how infrastructure as a service players are playing in this field. So typically in the cloud era, like 2013, 2014, or even thinking back like 2017, 2018, when a company builds some code, they will go to one of the hyperscalers like AWS, Azure, or Google Cloud, and they will just ship their code on AWS and expect everything to just work. And everything will be scalable and support is always ready. And there's no chance that, these guys come back to you and say, hey, we're out of chips. You can't scale. But unfortunately, that is a reality today. AWS and Azure, these guys have been out of chips for many, many months, right? Since maybe like last August or last July. And a lot of times, like we've seen customers pay up to 10x more cost for on-demand GPUs on GCP and AWS. So things are changing up by a lot. The hyperscalers are no longer the hyperscalers for the accelerated computing game and for the post-AI era. You cannot expect to just go to your hyperscaler and have your code infinitely scalable right away. And you have to think about a lot of things regarding hardware procurement and how to scale your infrastructure as a service provider. So that's why these days there's a lot of new players out there like us, like a CoreWeave, where these guys were stepping in to fill the shoes of these traditional hyperscalers, and we're providing the accelerated compute power to the end users. And one of the paradigm shifts here in terms of usage for accelerated computing is that people are still expecting things to just work, and they're expecting the cloud provider to help them with all of their scalability issues. And a lot of the times, that is not how it works with a new breed of provider, especially we're in an era where GPU chips are in a shortage and going to continue to be in a shortage for a long time. So a lot of times you go to one vendor, you assume it's going to work, you assume it's going to be infinitely scalable until you actually try to scale and the vendor tells you, no, we're out of cards. And you're kind of stuck if your vendor is out of cards. And now you have to go to another vendor in a different region and try to set up some new workloads in the other region. And you have to work with cross-region hypervisors and all of that complicated stuff that you never, ever had to do in the AWS and Azure cloud era. But unfortunately, that is a very real problem today. And, in deploying these cards, there's a lot of things to think about that weren't traditionally an issue for the cloud era. And I'll just name a few important things for GPU deployment. The first thing that people should consider when they're buying GPU cards is deployment time. So it's actually not pricing, not scalability, not any of that. It's deployment time. Because a lot of times these days, if you go to a Google Cloud, they tell you, our lead time is something like 2 quarters or 1 quarter down. Can you afford to wait for that long? You know, if you're a startup and you're trying to build some sort of minimal viable product, the first step of your minimal viable product for these AI products is you have to get the GPUs to start training your model. You can't build anything without starting to train your model. So if you're waiting for 6 months to get your hands on GPUs, what are you doing in that 6 months? Right, that is a long time to wait. And these lead times are also variable. Just because you waited 3 months or 6 months doesn't mean at the end things are going to be smooth and you're actually getting your cards. So you want to make sure that the vendor you're going to has proper deployment time that fit with the progress of your business. So that's one of the things that Inference AI does very well, because we have a very wide procurement pipeline. We could typically deploy in about a week or two, and that's considered very, very good for this industry. First thing you need to think about is deployment timeline. And after that, the next important thing is deployment expertise. This is something that's not very much talked about in the news, but it is very important for accelerated chips, because these chips, they're not the same breed as the CPUs, where a lot of people in the world knows how to work with them. It took a while for data centers to figure out how to deploy H100s without running into a lot of problems. And even today, we're still on that journey. A lot of vendors have the cards at hand. They have the servers, but they don't know how to wire it. Where as soon as they wire it, it runs into a problem and they can't figure out how to debug the problem, and the process can go for weeks. And we see that happen all the time. And we see, sometimes a card fails from NVIDIA or the server from Supermicro fails, and you have to ship the server back and it takes like 4 to 6 weeks. And your customer will just have to wait for that long. And it's a terrible experience. And that's something that, in the cloud era, people didn't have to deal with. But it's super important in the AI era, right? And on top of these deployment expertise issue, you have to think about fail-safe plans. This is something that Inference AI helps customer do, and it's basically what happens if you get a vendor that don't know what they're doing. The chip breaks. It takes 4 weeks. What are you doing in that 4 weeks? Can you quickly get somebody to fill in the shoes? This is very difficult. You basically have to have somebody there with a server that's always ready. After that, you have to think about what's the right card to use. And it is not very easy to figure that part out either. NVIDIA has a large fleet of cards, and most people can't really make sense of the naming. It takes a while to understand the pros and cons of every card and the ROI on the cards. And you need to have a procurement plan, right? Like, because you can't expect vendors to be infinitely scalable anymore. You need to think about, in May, if we're going to run a marketing campaign, we're expecting a lot of customers to come on board. If we're hosting inferencing, we have to start procuring the chips now, right? Yeah. Because a lineup is going to take a while. It's not at your fingertips. It's not readily scalable on demand. So people need to think about preemptively when their business is going to scale. And after all of this, I think that the last thing, and it's still pretty important, last thing to think about is the pricing. GPUs are usually priced per hour. They're very expensive. And different vendors have different pricing. And you have to think about what that pricing entails. Does it include support and all of that? So I forget the question already. I hope this answers.
No, that was great. I mean, you highlighted just the kind of the awareness people have going into, building AI applications, but also, how to best interact with your cloud provider.
Yeah.
So John, let me ask you this then. So kind of a follow-on, because a lot of what I really like this analogy of like, hey, the first generation are general purpose clouds, if you will, and now we're moving into more of a specialization era. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those trends from the early days of cloud, I think, also pull forward into this. And I'll ask you this. Is there, like, what parts of the organization are you typically talking to? And what I mean by that is the early days of cloud, we also, because of the, hey, we had, you know, large time constraints to get equipment in, you know, in a data center, for instance, or some of these other things, like, there's a lot of parallels to GPU limited availability. And then you had the rise of shadow IT back in the day. So are we looking at a situation where in order to go faster, a lot of organizations are almost like pulling out the credit card and doing shadow AI again?
Can you define what you mean by shadow AI?
Yeah. So basically, like typically IT procurement, like big IT shops, you have to go through proper procurement and it takes a long time and you got to do a proper budget. And then the early days of public cloud, it was like, hey, I'm just going to pull out my credit card, put this on my credit card, and we're just going to go, right? Because we can just go right now because we have availability and we can just kind of pay as we go. And so, like, I'm kind of wondering, is this something that to remove that friction and go a lot faster? Sometimes this is like an organization that's maybe not part of like your standard IT procurement, right? Or, you know, in a big organization, they always have big IT departments and big procurement departments. Is it pockets kind of coming to you and saying, hey, like maybe a data scientist organization, they're like, hey, I need this stuff. My organization can't do it and I want to do it faster through you.
Yeah, I mean, that's happening a lot. And actually, just yesterday, we come across a customer saying they want 1,000 GPUs deployed within the week. Wow. No one on earth can do that for you. No one is sitting on 1,000 idle GPUs. It's very much a big shortage situation. A lot of enterprises aren't realizing this. A lot of corporates aren't realizing this. They want things right away. And there are vendors who are selling on demand. On-demand pricing is typically 2 to 3x more than the dedicated pricing. So it's not a good strategy to go on demand. A better strategy would be to lock in something for like a 2 to 3 years, because the shortage is going to be here for a while. Even if you don't want to get started right away, what you can do is lock in that supply for yourself first, or get in line first, because it takes some time to procure it. Regarding these big corporates, we've definitely started seeing a lot of bigger corporates starting to shop around before they have like a fully formed thesis on what they're going to do with the hardware. It's valuable resources to get the allocation on the hardware first.
Yeah. You guys obviously, given the name of the company, you focus more on inferencing. Are you still able to serve customers who kind of want to do the full life cycle? Maybe they're actually training their own models, maybe as opposed to, bringing something from Hugging Face, or is it really kind of, you're specialized and optimized for inferencing, or how does that typically work with customers? Is it, is today almost all generative AI, or are you still seeing a lot of predictive AI, or what's the mix of that you're seeing from people, and then how do they typically sort of deal with that?
Yeah, so we are a one-stop shop for both training and inferencing. I know the name might be a little misleading, but we can actually do both very well. And in fact, most training and inferencing are two different phases of AI and ML. So typically, you need to train the model first, and then you host it for inferencing. And today, most of the customers are still in the training stage. And that's because the AI boom hasn't taken off for a long time, right? It really started last year around June and July. And it takes startups about 18 months typically to find a product market fit. So it hasn't been 18 months yet. That's why most of these folks are still in the training phase. And that's the majority of our customers as well. And our play with inference is very interesting, because when it gets to typically for training, people will use like the typical NVIDIA fleet, the H100s and the A100s and the H200s in the summer, and then the Blackwells. But for inferencing, we're expecting a landscape where a large variety of model-specific hardware cards are going to come out. Because inferencing is very specific. You don't need to use general-purpose GPUs like H100 and pay a high premium on that. So For these inferencing cards, I'm talking about things like Grok, like an analog computer, the LPU, that type of thing. So these chips are very optimized for certain types of models. And if you run them with certain types of models, and it's actually very much performant and very, 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 very cheap. So if you're someone that, if you're a company that, you know, you already trained this type of model, then it doesn't make sense for you to be on a general purpose GPU. You would just get the card that's best suited for your model. And so what might start to happen is that once we get to inferencing, there's going to be a lot of cards on the market. And it is going to be mayhem for customers to try to discover what cards are best suited for their model. So that's sort of where Inference AI with our ChatGPU product comes in and help people navigate this landscape of, you know, through benchmarking and through our proprietary knowledge, we help people consult on, you know, what are the best cards that's suited for your use case. So in that sense, yeah, we're serving inference when it gets to inference. And right now we are serving a lot of model training companies.
And John, I wanted to follow up because you did mention ChatGPU, and that was something I just wanted to make sure we explicitly call it out and talk about it a little bit more, because this whole process, I mean, as we kind of talked about here, it can be really overwhelming. And so you recently announced the chatbot, ChatGPU. And it should walk everyone through exactly this, the sizing process. Where are you thinking of everything? And so tell everyone a little bit about ChatGPU and how it came to be, please.
Yeah, so the model training landscape is actually a very confusing process right now. First of all, CTOs, they have to figure out what cards they need, right? And it is not very easy to figure out the cards they need. If you just go down NVIDIA's fleet and try to figure out their naming, you'll notice they're not the best at naming things. They have the L series and the A series and the H series. It's very confusing. I think, in fact, recently, somebody from the NVIDIA team said their DGX server, the DGX, the name DGX actually doesn't stand for anything. It's not an acronym. It's just they just think it sounds cool to call it DGX. So it's they're not the best at naming things, and it's very confusing for people to navigate. You know, what cards are best for what, and a lot of times you need to do proprietary testing before you can figure out what cards are best for you. And the problem in the industry right now is that no one will let you do this type of testing, right? So so what happens is that, let's say your testing environment is 8 GPU cards and your production is 64 cards. If you run your test load on your testing environment, it actually doesn't mean anything. There's no relationship between how it performs on 8 GPUs versus how it performs on 64 GPUs. It's not like 1/8 the speed. That's not how it works. It's like you have 8 brains. Now you have 64 brains. They're like separate brains. So there's no relationship there. So it's actually very hard to predict. But if you want to run your test load on 64 GPUs to predict what would happen in production with your 64 GPUs, no one will let you do short-term testing on a big fleet of cards without a very large budget, like some outrageous budget. Maybe maybe Google will charge you like $30 an hour or something to give you a bunch of cards for you to test for a week, for you to do any sort of predicting. On your workload. So people are actually very much confused. And a lot of times we ask our customers, like, how did you come to the conclusion that you want 64 GPUs? And most of the time we don't hear very good answers to this. It's mostly you look at your budget and, you know, we can afford this. We can afford this much for GPUs. Let's test it on this much GPUs. But it's not really based on, a lot of testing and, they did a bunch of testing on different cards and they figure out this one is the best performance to price ratio for their model and all of that. So that's sort of where ChatGPU comes into place. We did a lot of proprietary benchmarking and testing on our own with major models. And sometimes we help customers with the custom models. Because we work with a lot of these customers, we have a lot of in-house expertise on what chips are best suited for what scenario and how many chips are needed. So we basically train our own model and put all of this information into our product that is ChatGPU. So if you go on our website right now, you can hit the ChatGPU button. It's going to pull up a bot. You're going to talk to the bot about what your business does. So let's say if you're making like a movie generation app. So the bot is going to ask you questions like, okay, how many movies are you using to train this model? Okay, and how big are each of these movies? What's the resolution of each of these movies? And at the end of this chatting process, we're going to give you a bunch of options. So we're going to say, if you want price optimized, this is how many of what cars you need. And if you want performance optimized, this is how many of what cars you need. And there's a couple of different options that you could play around with. And it's going to help you navigate and give you a better idea of what cars fit your need. And then at that point, you can chat with one of our guys and we can get you a good pricing that fits your need, and we'll help you deploy everything.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm still just trying to kind of wrap my brain around, having dealt with kind of the evolution of cloud and on demand, and like you said, different mm-hmm. contracts and so forth. What are you seeing, as much as you're willing to share, like what are you seeing from customers? Because, we're still in fairly early days, although we're in, what feels like gold rush kind of, demand days for AI and chips and so forth. But like, how do people kind of square up between being like, well, I'd kind of like to experiment. Maybe I'll look into something for 6 months. You guys obviously have probably very, very challenging things with like finite amount of resources and people wanting different things. Are you seeing a lot of people who are asking you to build them sort of like custom, contracts for things? Or do you see a lot of folks that come to you towards the end of a contract and they're like, can I extend this, please? Please don't give them away. Like what are some of the common behaviors you're seeing, and what are the asks from people?
Yeah, actually a more common behavior that we've seen is people getting on long-term dedicated contracts. And the reason is this, if you try to go for 6 months or less, even though a lot of people want to do that, the cost is going to be almost twice as much, sometimes 3x, depending on how short-term you want it. And at that point, it's just become a very big cost for customers. And if you're paying 2-3x, then you might as well just go for a year contract or 2 year contract, and you can secure the allocation, because it's very much GPU supply is very much in a big shortage right now, and it's not going to get better. So it's actually beneficial to secure GPUs for a long term, even if you haven't figured things out. And if you're going for short term on demand, there's not a lot of vendors that have a big fleet of GPUs on demand, because it's just not worth it for them to do that business. So if you want something, let's say you want like 500 cars for like 2 months, there's probably like one or two companies, if any companies, that are willing to take this deal, and the price is going to be extremely high. You might as well just do a 2 year or 1 year commit at that price. So that's something that we haven't seen a whole lot in the cloud era. Right, no one pays AWS for a year upfront, but that's actually a very common practice in the GPU service.
Yeah,
GPU as a service today.
Yep, no, makes sense.
Yeah,
yep, fantastic. So, John, one final question for you, and this is a little bit of like look into your crystal ball and give us a little bit of futures prediction. Right, what in your opinion, what does like a next generation data center specifically for AI ML, what does it look like? Will the industry, like for instance, move away from GPUs, or will it somehow reduce the dependency on NVIDIA, or will there be another class of chips that comes to be? What are you seeing?
I think first of all, we're probably not going to move away from NVIDIA. NVIDIA is going to be a very powerful player here. And there's a reason why their stock prices is through the roof, is because they're untouched. They're untouched by any competitors out there. No one has any cards close to the performance of the NVIDIA cards. Nor are we seeing these guys, close to catching up the barriers that NVIDIA is building. So yeah, the future is going to be very much NVIDIA cards, I think, mostly for training. But for inferencing, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of different cards. And, you know, for inferencing, you don't need to, you know, necessarily use CUDA. You don't need to go through a lot of the barriers that NVIDIA has put up for itself. So that's sort of optimistic in the sense that the shortage is going to continue for a long time. And, you know, NVIDIA chips is going to be also in very big shortage. But if we start getting into these, you know, model-specific inferencing cards, then there's a good chance that these cards will be in abundance, right? Like one of the biggest bottlenecks for supply chain right now is Calwis packaging from TSMC, which is the packaging used to produce these NVIDIA and AMD general-purpose GPU cards. And if we're getting into these, you know, inferencing cards, they don't need to necessarily be Calwis packaged. Right. In fact, most of them are not Calwis packaged. So we're removing a lot of the supply chain bottlenecks once we get into these inferencing cards. So the future of AI data centers, I think one big change is that they're going to have to figure out a way to carry a large variety of inferencing cards. And the other big change is that for training, NVIDIA cards are getting stronger and more powerful, but at the cost of using more power. So we saw the release of the Blackwell recently. It is extremely power consuming to a point where most traditional data centers can't just, you know, pop out their H100 and put the B100 or B200 in. A lot of them will have to redo their racks. A lot of them have to respace their data centers. And that's why we see like a lot of these hyperscalers are now building new data centers that are, you know, like 50K, 50 kilowatts or like 30 kilowatts to adjust to fit these more powerful cards that are coming out from NVIDIA. So future AI data centers definitely going to look very different from the data centers today. And they have to figure out on one side how to carry a lot of these inferencing cards and on the other side how to solve the power problem for training. Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah.
A lot of good stuff. John, thank you so much for all of this. If you know, if folks are listening and they're curious about, you know, getting engaged with your team or in getting engaged with you know, with inferencing AI, what's the best way for, you know, whether they're asking simple questions like we did or more in depth stuff, what's the best way to engage?
Best way to engage is just to message us at hello@inference.ai. Or hop on our website, book a meeting with us, or find us on LinkedIn, shoot us a message. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get in contact with us. We'd love to chat.
Good stuff. Aaron, you and I have been wanting to dive into this. I think we just sort of scratched the surface, but a lot of things to think about. Anything else you want to wrap up before we wrap it up today?
No, I was just going to simply say I think this was a fantastic conversation. So thank you, John, because yeah, I think there's really so much to think about. And as we kind of said in the beginning, I mean, this goes really deep, really quick, and there's lots of different ways to think about this, and there's lots of different ways to solve the problems when it comes to AI. You know, it's your classic scale up versus scale out theory all over again. And so I think that's a really good takeaway for everyone.
Well, good. Well, with that, John, thank you so much for the time today. And folks, as always, thank you all for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for providing feedback and all the ways that you, you know, you rate the show and give us rankings. We really appreciate that. So for Aaron and I, thank you to John for his time today. We'll wrap it up and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.